This is Scott Becker with the Scott Becker Business Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by a leadership and coaching guru. We're with Mike Harbor, and Mike's going to talk to us about his best pieces of advice for leaders, his best thoughts and pieces of advice for business leaders, and we'll go from there. Mike, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Scott, for having me on the show. I'm a leadership coach, trainer, consultant, Scott. Primarily do work in the healthcare industry, but I've worked in a lot of different industries like manufacturing and banking. I base myself out of Arkansas, but really travel border to border, coast to coast. So I'm excited to be here with you today.
Thank you very, very much. And talk for a moment about advice for leaders. They could be business leaders, not business leaders. We'll go to business next. But talk to us generally. What are three pieces of advice that you would give leaders who want to be effective leaders?
Yeah, I think three things, Scott, that come to mind when you ask that question. One is never stop growing. You know, one of the challenges leaders have oftentimes is they get to that place of a leadership title and they think they have to know it all. And so my advice is just never stop growing. Don't be a know-it-all leader. Learn from others. Learn from others in the industry. Learn from others around you as well. I think secondly, one of the ways to really do that is to hire a coach. So shameless plug there, but, you know, hire a coach. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done, Scott, to kind of get me out of my way, to remove some limiting beliefs or limited thinking patterns that I have on myself. It gives you a different perspective. And then three, I think and this is probably the biggest piece of advice, transitioning from being a directional leader to a relational leader. And so let me just describe what I mean by that. Directional leaders often come into the room and they give direction. It's often seen as kind of dictatorial or authoritarian type leadership. We see a lot of that in our world today, Scott, where we have leaders telling us what to do, but not really building relationships with others, finding ways to connect with another person, finding out what makes them tick, what makes them their thoughts different, and then building relationship with them to move people. You know, one of my mentors is John Maxwell. He teaches the law of connection. He says, touch a person's heart before you ask for a hand. So that's really what being a relational leader is really connecting with the individual, their heartbeat, their energy, and then influencing them to move from where they are to where we need them to go, versus directional leadership, just coming in and being the know-it-all leader and telling people what to do.
Well, fantastic. And talk for a moment about the influence that John Maxwell's had on you. If you can, take a moment to reflect on that.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I love talking about that because, you know, for me, I grew up in a home that was very dysfunctional. I left home without any modeling for what leadership, communication, teamwork really was. And so I was introduced to John when I was 23 years old. I was in the military at that time, serving in the U.S. Army. And one of my leaders who became a mentor for me at that time, so he said, you know, Mike, I see a lot of potential in you, but you need to grow. And he gave me a book. He actually gave me two books back then, Scott, Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and then one of John Maxwell's books called Developing the Leader Within You. So I've been a student of John's now for over 25 years. And it's really about values-based leadership. And I had to learn those things because I didn't learn that. So John has been a mentor through his books and his recordings for years. And then, you know, about 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, I joined John. He rolled out a coaching and a program called the John Maxwell Team. So I partnered with John as a leadership expert using John's values-based training, values-based principles to help leaders become values-based, relational-based leaders as well in their own organizations.
And take a moment. You know, we lived in this world for a very long time, at least ostensibly did, of command and control leadership. Most of us recognize whatever command and control structure you have is ultimately somewhat fragile. It's very often, other than in a dictatorial state with lots of military help, that you could keep a command and control style in working for too long. Because all of a sudden we need to persuade others. When did you see this transition happen from it become sort of mainstream to be a relationship type leader versus a command and control leader? And isn't there some need to mix both of those? How do you mix both of those?
Yeah, oh, what a great question. I think for me, Scott, I really began to make that transition when I was about 25. So after a couple of years of studying leadership and having really good models in the military. You know, the military is a very command and control style of leadership structure, but I was fortunate to have some good leaders in the military that showed the relational style. I go back to Hal Moore. Scott, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie We Were Soldiers Once and Young, but very command and control leader during the Vietnam War, but he had great relationships. His soldiers loved him. They were willing to die for him, right? And so it was a relational style of leadership. And I think we do have to have a balance with people. And I often say this, Scott, if you have relationship with people, you can be tough on them. But if you don't have relationship with them, you can't be tough on them, because they'll end up leaving you, right? And the number one thing, and this is for all leaders listening, the number one reason that people leave organizations today is not because of the mission or vision of the company they work for. It's because of the poor leadership that they work for, that command and control style. And so there is a balance there. And if you build relationships with people, at times, what I believe is we have to communicate with our team, build relationships with them, ask for their opinion. But as the leader, oftentimes I get final say. Once we've not that we're trying to build consensus, but collaboration, right? Collaborate with those ideas, and then eventually you say, okay, it's good that I've gotten all these ideas. Here's what we've got to do. So that's where I step into that kind of command and control. Once we've heard all the voices, we've gotten all the advice and opinions that we could get, then as a leader, okay, this is the direction we're going to go. So I think, Scott, it begins with asking opinions. And once you have opinions, you get buy-in from your team, and they're more likely to follow your direction at that point.
And take a moment on another question. I'm going to switch for a moment. You're also both a leadership coach working with leaders across all disciplines, really magnificent. You also are a business person, and you work with lots of business people. So what are two or three pieces of advice that you would have for business and business founders and business leaders? And of course, these will overlap with leadership advice, but talk about how you advise somebody about business. What piece of advice would you give them?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Again, Scott, I think I've got three things that business leaders need to do. And I'll share an example of a company I went in to work with. Several years ago, there was a manufacturing company. They were stuck on $2.8 million in revenue. So it was a small firm, about 30 employees. They had been stuck at $2.8 million in revenue for about 5 years in a row and just couldn't get over the hump. And so they brought me in to do some work with them from a consulting standpoint. And what I realized immediately is they didn't really have any values that drove their company. And so I helped them establish some values, some foundational values and behaviors that modeled those things. So I think the first piece of advice is you need to build your foundation on solid values. So if you're a new company, start there. If you're an established company, restart there. Now is a great time in our world, Scott, to do a reset, to just do a restart and establish some values. We took that company from $2.8 million to over $6 million in revenue in just about 2.5 years. Just by establishing those values and then building synergy from all those 30 employees, we built synergy around those values. It gave them something to fight for versus fight against. The second piece is I think you have to hire talent that fits your values. Too many companies today, they hire bodies. They say, well, I just need a body. I'm going to go hire me somebody that fits that position versus someone who fits the values of the organization. Values fit is one of the number one things, or a lack of values fit is one of the number one things that creates frustration for leaders. So leaders hire people and they end up trying to fix them versus hiring people who are a good fit for the company and what the company believes in on the front end. And then the third piece, Scott, is we have to train people continually, and meaning we need to invest in their growth. See, people are our number one asset. And if we invest in them, they're more likely to stay with us. Right now is a great time. You know, we're still transitioning through all of the chaos of the COVID pandemic. Now is a great time to do a reset, establish some values. As you come out of this pandemic, reset your values and the way you're going to lead forward. If you need to rehire talent that is a values fit, not just a warm body to fill a position on your team. And then once you get that team established, train them continually, invest in them for the future, not just for the moment, Scott. And those are the three pieces of advice I have for business leaders.
Mike, let me ask you to take 30 seconds to summarize those three, just if anybody's taking notes and wants to make a list.
Yeah, so values, there are principles, right? We have a vision of where we want to take our company, but the values are like the mile markers along the way. They keep us going the right direction to make sure we're moving toward that vision. That's kind of the way I describe those things, guys. So those values are our mile markers. How are we going to do something? How are we going to make tough decisions? How are we going to decide what business to step into? How are we going to establish which contracts to take or which contracts not to take if you're kind of in that contract type business? So that's how I summarize the values. The talent, look, there is a ton of talent in the marketplace right now because of all the layoffs and the furloughs that we've been through the pandemic. But make sure this is a critical time as you rebuild your business or restart your business. This is a critical time to get people that are a fit for your company. I'm not saying don't hire people back that you've laid off or furloughed. I'm just saying make sure they're a good fit for your company. So spend time creating clarity on those values and what type of person, Scott. The who is more important than what they can do. Who they are is more important. And then training people, there's a lot of different things. Maybe you need to train them technically. A lot of the organizations I work, Scott, and you'll relate to this from your healthcare background, most companies promote people based on their technical skills. So maybe they're a good accountant. Maybe they're a good nurse. Maybe they're a good whatever, pharmacist. They promote them into a level of leadership, but they don't develop and train those leadership skills or relational skills that are important. So on the training side, there's technical skills that we need to train to make sure they have the tools to be successful, but maybe we need to train them on customer service. Maybe we need to train them on communication. Maybe we need to train them on public speaking so they can speak to their teams effectively to drive that vision forward. That's how I'd summarize those three, Scott.
Thank you very much. Mike, one last question. How do people reach you if they want to talk to you, they want some of your advice, they want you to coach them or their company? How do people reach Mike Harbor?
Yeah, thank you for that, Scott. Mike@harborresources.com is my email address, and Harbor's Harbour, resources.com, or you can visit my website at that same address, www.harborresources.com.
Mike, thank you for joining the Scott Becker Business Podcast. Always great to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Scott, it's a pleasure to visit with you too, man. Thanks for having me on.